If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and presence of the Most High. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, in the divine presence, there is fulfillment and joy. So I'm going to start this evening with an exercise. So take a deep breath and bring yourself forward in a centered alignment with your divine core essence. And if you will, just take your thumb and your forefinger and put them together in a little O. Doesn't matter which hand. And park it between your breasts, right on the bone, between your breasts, your breastbone, right in the center of your chest. Now, I'd like you to, hopefully you don't have something too heavy on that you're wearing, but feel around very gently until you feel a subtle but delicious sensation. It can be different in different people. For me, it's just below the thymus. Yeah, about an inch below the thymus, I feel this ecstatic point. And that is the very, very heart center. The very center point of your divine sacred tabernacle, in which God dwells, in which you dwell as the divine beloved. So after we go off the air, if you're having a little difficulty finding it now, just aim for the center of your chest. And later, work with this a little bit until you find that point. It feels so delicious when you touch that energy point, that it is exquisite. So it's worth taking time to find it. Now, holding your finger and thumb joined together in a chin mudra, which is what you call it when you put your thumb and forefinger together. And the reason why we do that, it's called a mudra. The thumb represents the Atma, or the divine spirit. Your forefinger represents you as an individualized soul. And then the three extended fingers remaining represent the quality of goodness or balance, the quality of action, and the quality of inertia, which are the three energies that govern all of creation. It's a play of those three energies: equilibrium, action, and inertia. So we all have those qualities within us, but we want to keep the qualities apart, and we want to join with God, which is why we put the fingers that way. That's your traditional meditative pose. If you wonder why you see people sitting that way, that's why. And when you sit in that position, it helps to calm the mind. So back to that point, right in the center of your chest, I would like you to breathe very gently and tenderly into that point, right where your fingers are touching. Ready? Gentle breath. And exhale very gently. And this time we want you to breathe directly into that place where the beloved resides. And touch to the presence of God within you. As you inhale, touch and exhale. And just continue gently breathing into that point the center of your chest. And touch directly to the presence of God. God dwells in your sacred heart. God dwells everywhere, but takes residence as your beloved in the center of your heart. That is the love you have longed for in every person you thought was it. But when you find that beloved within, all the longing of your heart will be fulfilled. And then whoever you're with will be the beloved to you, because there will be no difference. No longer will you go forth in the world seeking, outsourcing, passing the begging bowl around. Oh, please love me. Please accept me. Please give me this or that. Please fulfill me. That will vanish, because the fulfillment you seek is as close as your next breath. So again, focus on that place, right? The center of your chest. Softly and tenderly breathe and touch to God. Feel the goosebumps over the top of your head. There are corresponding petals in the thousand petal lotus at the top of your head. That are opened when you've entered the sacred shrine of the beloved. There will come a time when that heart center will never close again. And you will know what true agape love is. Prema, agape in Greek, prema in Sanskrit, means that pure divine love. And you'll find that it is equal and universal. And everyone you look at after that heart center is opened will be the beloved. You will experience such a love that you would give your very life for any one of them. You would bow and kiss the feet of anyone, for each of them would be to you the Lord. That is the value of contacting that presence. It's within you, closer than your hands and feet, as intimate as your heartbeat and your breath. It never leaves you. It never forsakes you. It is the very indweller that is giving you life. That is the presence with a capital P that the mystics refer to as the beloved. Commune and communicate with this beloved, this presence residing right in the center of your spiritual heart. This is genuine holy communion. And this is to directly experience God. This is how you pray without ceasing. It's not a lip action. It's an ecstatic upwelling of bliss within your own heart. Sometimes there will be words, but more often than not, you will experience that you're too full to utter a single sound. And those are the most eloquent prayers. Those that arise from the silent rapture of the heart. Cultivate that. Cultivate that, not as a ritual, but you'll find that it's the only place where you can find true rest and composure. You'll learn that wherever you are, whatever the situation you may find yourself in this field of karma, which is the world, you can find respite by touching to that place that is a spiritual heart, right in the center of your chest, and breathing tenderly, and perhaps softly calling the beloved. Perhaps even speaking words of love. You'll find a way. A lover always finds a way to be with his or her beloved. But this is the one that will never leave you, betray you, or forsake you. This is your eternal love. And yes, that beloved can take form and dance with you like Krishna danced with the gopis, or whatever your metaphor may be. But in highest truth, you are the divine presence that is dwelling in the sanctuary of your heart. That is the true twin flame. That is the true mate that you've longed for. But again, when you find that, that will end the seeking outwardly. But at the same time, the outer will reveal the divine presence wherever you look. So you don't lose the world, you just lose using the world to try to fulfill something that only the presence could ever fulfill. That's the difference between a mystic and a person who's just sound asleep, thinking that it, whatever it is, will be found in a person, a relationship, a job, a career, personal belongings, whatever. And there's constant disappointment. But when you find this presence, their disappointment and loneliness ends. So we're in a time when we are moving into greater and greater illumination. And illumination is like the bringing up of a dimmer switch. And when you reach certain epiphany points where you seem to reside for a while, that's called an initiation. And it produces a permanent alteration in how you see life and experience life. But every spiritual practice is meant to draw you into union with the divine presence. Your authentic self, your soul, spirit, or Atma is the divine presence. However, the experiencing of that divine presence is blocked by the thinking mind. Just like the storm clouds block the ever-shining sun. So the thinking mind presents a sort of static that keeps you from hearing the inner direction really clearly. Gets all mixed up with your beliefs and your concepts and your questions. So getting that communion going by dwelling in the presence, by breathing into the center of your heart, and communing with your heart, with the beloved, will begin the process of filling your whole life with light. Another name for the soul is the Atma Jyoti, the flame of the spirit. And if you wish, you could even visualize your beloved standing in this divine flame. It's not a flame that burns. It's like the Moxon flame. It's like that silvery flame, white, silver light. It doesn't burn. It transfigures you into glory, into immortality. It doesn't destroy. Nothing that emanates from God ever destroys. God is a life-bestowing spirit. So every movement towards God gives you greater life, greater vitality, greater joy, greater energy, greater enthusiasm. So because the thinking mind is the one thing that blocks the experience of the divine presence, every spiritual practice is ultimately meant to enable one to transcend thought and to experience awareness. Awareness is simply aware. It doesn't have to arrive at awareness through thinking. Awareness is direct perception of divine reality. It's direct knowing without thought. How do you do that? Well, I do it all the time. Someone asks me a question or something, and I'll pause and be silent for an instant, and I'll wait until the answer appears in my mind. I don't have to search for it. It shows up. And that's the result of practicing what I've been sharing so far. I've practiced this until that immediate awareness is simply present. So the difference is that thought is limited to what one has learned. So it is all bound up with belief, concepts, and past conditioning. And thinking is tiresome because it's regurgitated learning. It lacks freshness and feels heavy. And when one is accustomed to operating from direct awareness, mentalizing and too much thinking will even cause headaches. At least that's been my experience. So begin to notice whenever you feel rushed or pushed by time or mentally agitated or stressed out. Just become aware that the lower level beta thinking mind has taken over and you've become a human doing instead of a human being. So when you find yourself doing that, just laugh. Oh, looks like I've become a human doing. What's happened is that you've lost conscious awareness of the divine presence. It hasn't left. It's there like the sun shining behind the storm clouds. But you've lost awareness of it, and that is the source of your inner peace and centered composure. You see, that's always present. It doesn't go anywhere. Right now, where you're sitting, is perfect inner peace, perfect divine safety and love. So if you're not experiencing that right now, it's because you've lost awareness of it and have become entrained in the thinking process. Doesn't mean you're a bad person or that you're lost or you're going to hell or any of that nonsense. It just means that the clouds of thinking and conditioning have blocked your direct awareness and perception of the divine presence that's always there. It doesn't take a lot of work to get into the present. It just takes stopping whatever it is you're doing and refocusing. Stopping and refocusing, that's all. So by maintaining contact with the divine presence, you can transcend the constraints of time and actually accomplish so much more without any stress and without any draining of your energy. So if you're in a job, you become much more efficient. You become a much more highly efficient, functioning human being by learning to transcend the lower mind into the higher awareness of the beloved. So watch how the mind and the sense of time arise as one. Very important to realize that. Time resides in the human ego mind, which is about the size of a peanut located in the brain. That is what gives you the sense of time. That is the seat of the false self, or it's called the call, K-A-L, which is another word for the devil in some spiritual traditions. So the only devil is retrogressive living. It's living cattywampus. It's living in reverse, in the mirrored image. Because the word lived, turned around, spells devil. So it just basically means living in the concepts of the past. It's not some horned creature ready to snatch you into hellfire. But hellfire is your own torment. Unnecessary torment. So the temptation, if you want to use the analogy of the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, is simply the choice between whether you're going to be aware of the divine presence, or you're going to allow the past concepts of the past and the conditioning to run the show. And either way, you never left the heart of God, so you don't really have to worry about it one way or the other. There's no way you could ever leave the presence of God in any real way. You can dream it, you can imagine it, you can fake it, you can mood make it, but you can never do it. So don't worry about that. Just develop the awareness that when you lack that sense of fulfillment and joy and peace, you've simply gotten caught up in time. And with it, the mind and its thinking. So the time-bound mind is what causes stress and burnout and breakdown and dis-ease, aging, and ultimately death, which is a good thing because that's the escape that we have from the tyranny of time. And if we can have an awareness of God in that process, then we don't go through death at all. You know, it just becomes a great illusion. So instead of going to nothingness or what we would fear, we find we're laughing on the other side. Oh my gosh, I thought I'd be dead, but actually I'm more alive than ever. So because it leads the mind and its time entrainment leads to breakdown, aging, and disease. This is why people who run their lives by the ego mind more rapidly show signs of aging. Wrinkles appear, and they seem to be older than they actually are. It's because they've allowed the mind to wear them out. They don't get electrified. They don't get centrifugation when they're operating in the mind. They're just draining their energy. Whereas when you're operating from awareness, you're regenerating energy constantly, because God is like a electrical current that vivifies. So you appear younger and more vital and more energetic and healthier the more you dwell in the presence. So meditators and yogis and those who are able to transcend the sense of time and the ego mind are able to live longer, often into their hundreds, some of them into the thousands, and some have immortalized their bodies entirely, depending on what they choose to do, because they're free. They can do whatever they want at that point. But they appear younger and maintain good health. So dis-ease means lack of ease. And for that, the mind is ever the cause. So mankind will realize his mission on earth when he knows himself as divine and reveres others as divine. For that's the whole purpose of being here on earth. The great yogi and master Yogananda said, "Everything I yearn for awaits me in God." And Yogananda's devotion was so great that it immortalized the very cells of his physical body. The Forest Lawn Mortuary here in Los Angeles, this was in, I think it was 1957, kept his body in a glass coffin for over a month to observe it. And they were absolutely amazed that it showed none of the usual signs of decomposition. And St. Clair, the close associate and friend of St. Francis of Assisi, also immortalized her body through deep devotion to God. And there have been many, many of the Catholic saints that have been mentioned that have immortalized their bodies, and many, of course, in the Eastern traditions. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that the body of the Messiah, referring to Jesus, would never suffer corruption. And the New Testament states that we shall all be raised into incorruptible, immortalized bodies like that of the resurrected Christ. And if you look at that scripture esoterically, you can see that it actually refers to the transcending of time. And time, ego mind, and death are all illusions. So if we look at it in the biblical symbology, we would say that time and the devil and death are conquered by the Christ and conquered by us as we move into that state of consciousness that is one with the divine presence, which is called the Christ. Christ is another metaphor for the Son of God or the soul of God, which is you and me and everyone. So this is not something that's going to be impossible. Nothing that God would have us do is ever going to be impossible. We are fully equipped. And this is our destiny. And we're moving into it even as we sit here. And because we're all moving into it together, we don't realize how bright we've become, how illumined we already are, because we don't have any real contrast within our own self. I live in the heaven of God. I don't see anything else. I don't experience anything else. So for me, it's just as normal as can be. It doesn't seem phenomenal. It doesn't seem unusual. You know, you think everyone sees the same world until you listen to them talk. And then you realize, wow, everybody lives in a world of their own interpretation and making. So the immortalized body is birthed by dwelling in the timeless presence of God. You see, in the divine presence, there is perfect wholeness, perfect healing, perfect restoration, and resurrecting power. So much so that those that seem dead awake and arise from the illusion of death and express and experience eternal life. When I was working in the healing ministry with the Benny Hinn Ministries, I would watch how the divine presence would be palpable in that audience of usually 10, 20,000 people. It would become palpable as they were worshiping. They would be calling it forward until the presence was thick in that auditorium and people would start getting healed all over the auditorium. Bam, 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 bam. Suddenly people get out of their wheelchairs, or blind people would see, or deaf people would hear. All sorts of diseases and tumors and everything would just vanish. Or people that were tormented by evil spirits, the spirits would get out of them shrieking and they would just vacate. They couldn't stand the presence. So in the divine presence, there is fulfillment and healing, and wholeness, and joy. Nothing can stay dead in the divine presence. You want to read some interesting stories? Read about Smith Wigglesworth, a very great healer, man of God, in England, 19th century, 20th century, I guess. Yeah, 20th century. And he resurrected so many people, it was amazing. But he was so filled with the presence of God that nothing could stay dead around him either. When he spoke life, people came back to life that supposedly or, you know, actually had died. But it's very, very interesting if you read some of these stories of these great men and women who are filled with the presence of God. So the breath is the key to immortalizing transfiguration, not just any breath, but the breath of love, the breath of conscious desire to draw near to God. So God is the life breath of every person. In fact, the breath is the very soul. And therefore, we can use the breath to most easily connect with the divine presence. And through the breath, breathed in rapturous union with the beloved, we merge into one divine presence. Just like the wave dissolves in the sea, we merge our little story into the beloved. We don't lose identity, but we merge into the great identity. So all of illusion and all sense of separation dissolves away. It just melts, and fulfillment is attained with that union. Fulfillment and joy without divine union are absolutely impossible. Fulfillment and joy are the very evidence of divine union. In a secret remote area of the Himalayas, there's a group of masters who dwell there. And they're known as the Eshwar Kanawali, which means the God-eaters. And these masters consume and take in more and more of God. They partake of God. They eat God as the bread of life. And they sustain this ongoing divine communion through the breath, combined with the living word of the sound current, which I've spoken of in many seminars. The sound current is the living word. The presence is the living light. And the Holy Spirit is the living love, which emanates from the living word and the living light. And that's the most esoteric meaning of the Trinity. And they all live present within your sacred heart. You are the very tabernacle of the living word and the living light and the living love of God. So every form of longing and loneliness and discontent, every manifestation of suffering arises from the one desire of the soul for divine merger and union. And everyone suffering is really longing for God, although very few realize this on a conscious level. Nevertheless, behind every addiction, every suicidal attempt, every form of anguish and aching longing, and every form of anger, and every form of negativity, behind all of that, you have this one desire to merge in source, in the divine source. So if you haven't already discovered how to partake of the bread of life, the bread of heaven, you could begin eating God this very moment by breathing and inhaling his presence within your heart. Take it as food. Take it as the very life-sustaining nourishment that you've been starving for. And begin to breathe as one with the beloved. Spend quiet moments each day joining as one breath with the beloved within your heart. This single, simple practice will give you everything. It will give you fulfillment and joy beyond measure. It's better than 1,000 repetitions of the names of God like a parrot. One rapturous sigh in which you unite with God's presence within your heart is worth hours of robotic chanting, where you no longer feel the thrill. Sometimes the ecstasy gets so great that you cannot pronounce one name of God. You tremble and your body ignites with a holy fire, and you just sit there and shake and weep and burn as all the dross is consumed in the fire of ecstasy. And you're burnished and left pure, radiating the holy face, the holy image. So to begin with, you can softly call the divine name most dear to you, calling and tenderly summoning the beloved. There will be a response. There will always be a response. So just merge in blissful union. What transfigures and immortalizes the very cells of the physical body is pure love. And the purest form of love is bhakti, or devotion, the love of God, for God. So every thought of love has immortality. And that is why the soul, being a thought of God's love, is immortal. When all that is within us has merged with pure love, when all we are within and without is but pure love, we have joined the ranks of the God-eaters, the Eshwar Kanawali, the immortals. We are ascending into the next universe, which is governed by the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah universe. And the Holy Spirit, or Shekinah, is but another term to define the love of God dwelling within each soul. We as a race of beings are gradually transfiguring from dense carbon-based physical bodies to silicon-based crystalline bodies of light. Our upgraded physical vehicles are becoming etheric physical, which is less dense and composed of more radiance. We're still physical. We still have a body, but it is an upgrade of the equipment. And that's what we are moving into now on the planet. And that's why so many people are experiencing various symptoms. For example, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, blurry vision, ringing in the ears, dizziness, even panic attacks, and irregular heartbeats and blood pressure rates that fluctuate. And when the doctors can't find any cause, it's often because these symptoms are occurring at an energetic level within the etheric body, which is the energy body, just surrounding and infusing the physical. So what best addresses these symptoms is energy medicine and light, sound, and color therapies. And that's why the energy medicine and the energy healers are kept very busy right now. Acupuncture is also very good because, again, it works with the energy meridians that convey the etheric body energy into the physical. Now, rarely is a bearer of light actually physically ill. Yet very few of us are feeling really tip-top these days. And that's why, because of the disparity between the energies that are seeking entrance into the body and the physical body itself, based on its karma, its level of receptivity to the light, and many other factors, genetic and otherwise, our vehicles are not optimal for the power of the soul that wishes to fully inhabit and express through them. That's why we're having an upgrade in our equipment. Now, during this time, the mind needs to be kept quietly focused and positively directed to one's spiritual practice and work. And that's an all-the-time process of monitoring and becoming more and more aware of the mind and staying present with yourself wherever you are, whatever your occupation. Whatever burdens the mind or causes mental agitation and stress needs to be addressed and not allowed to disrupt you from your inner equanimity and peace. And since what we watch, hear, read, listen to affects the mind, and thus the immune system, the brain, and the physical body, we need to take care to intake quality, intake life-enhancing stimuli that actually feeds and nurtures and nourishes us with positive, uplifting energetic intake. Now, if you find yourself being overwhelmed by an overly stimulated mental body, practice the freeze technique. It's also called statues, playing statues or stop. I think you might remember playing that as a child. I do. But somebody in the group of children is elected to be the leader, and the rest of us just mill around and do whatever we do. And then at random moments, the leader calls out, freeze, or stop. And you have to freeze in place, whatever position you're in, which, you know, can be very funny. And again, it's also called statues. So it's a game where periodically, and this is what you can do in your daily life, periodically you can tell yourself, stop. And your mind is so shocked by that, that it takes a minute or two for it to get back in its train of thinking. But what you've done is called it present. So when you say stop or freeze to your mind, just become aware in that instant that you're present. That before you were in your mind, you weren't present. And when you stop for that split second, you're present. And then resume your activities. Because after, you know, a second or two or three, the mind is going to begin to run its customary thinking patterns. So when you're aware of when you're not present, that's the first way that you can begin to monitor and not allow the mind to run off with you and run your life. So this exercise is actually, I think, a variation of the Course in Miracles exercise, where you pause for a moment and return home. And to return home is to be fully present here and now. The Course in Miracles, the lesson is this way. I will be still in an instant and return home. Or I will be still an instant and go home. I think that's the way it is. And so sometimes when you're with people who are practitioners of the Course in Miracles, you'll see them periodically just go silent for an instant and close their eyes. And they're going home. They're touching to that presence. And that's something you can do also. So whether you take a moment to be still and go home to God, or you say stop or freeze to your mind, see if you can remember to practice that. It's also a good way to interrupt that pattern of just letting the mind waffle on and on and on and on with nonsense thinking. Because after you are accustomed to being in the state of awareness, you'll find that there's really nothing that needs to be thought about. Nothing needs doing or fixing or messing with. Really. Everything's perfect the way it is. Every soul on the planet is working through experiences that they have chosen to undergo. Everyone is the captain of their ship and the chooser of exactly what they are experiencing. For lessons and initiations and experiences that they have worked a long time to get the circumstance just right so they could pass through that test or that initiation or whatever it is that they're undergoing. Let them be. Let them do what they need to do. Only they and the Lord God within them know what's going on. And they may not know it consciously, but the soul knows. Who they really are knows. So everything right now is reaching a great crescendo. We are in the time of the great revelation, the great uncovering. the great apocalypsis, which means the uncovering, the unveiling. And everything that's been hidden is being brought to light. And all the dirt is coming up from the cracks and the crevasses and under the rugs and wherever it's been hidden and swept under. Everything's up. The karma's up. The chickens have come home to roost. Whatever one has sown, it's back in your face now to be eaten. But all is well. A happy outcome to all things is assured, which Jesus teaches us from the Course in Miracles. So no matter how messy it looks, we are moving into immortalized bodies of light. We are awakening as the Christ. We are awakening as the betrothed of the beloved. And all is well. All is well. God's will for us is perfect health, joy, fulfillment, peace. So the only one that punishes us is our ego. The ego is not a friend. It does not wish you well. And the ego takes the form of that lower mind that doubts and denies and puts up resistance to the light, that hates and carries grievance and vengeance and viperous poison, slander, gossip, bad thoughts. That is the only devil we need to face. And we need to face it with the light of the soul, which causes it to simply vanish. It's not in itself a reality. It has only the energy that you feed it. And you feed it every time you allow it to run your life. So in the presence, there is fulfillment. And joy, and nowhere else. So, we but delay our own experience of fulfillment and joy when we let the mind run us. And it's our grievances that hide the light of the world that we are. We cannot experience a divine presence and harbor grievances. Even a little grievance will serve to block the fulfillment and joy that is right there for you. You can't have both. You can't have your grievance and the peace and joy of God. So you have to be very, very vigilant and very strict with yourself. No mollycoddling of this vicious ego. But by the same token, we don't have to give it a lot of energy either, because it is a phantom. But it's a phantom that has taken on a humongous presence globally as the collective evil of our world and our day. It's the dweller on the threshold that every one of us has had a part in creating. You can't blame any group of people or person. Everything that's we see that's wrong with the world is something that we have created ourselves and participated in. And the only place to bring the healing is by taking responsibility for entering the presence ourselves. And that is the greatest gift that you could possibly give to the planet, your family, your children, yourself, your generation, and this monumental time on planet Earth. things must be addressed and fixed from within the states of consciousness, because it is only the states of consciousness that manifest as whatever we see in the outer world. There is no escaping personal accountability in this at all. So the masters that have gone before, that have become the perfected men and women of earlier times, there is near to you as your hands and feet also. They're cheering you on. They're teaching you at night when you go to sleep. And they're training us all to become the immortalized masters of these times. Every one of us is in soul school, soul academy, to emerge as a master, a great master. That's you and me and everyone. So if you watch yourself, you'll soon be able to clearly distinguish between the time-bound mind and its incessant commentary and your timeless presence. If mind and time are one and the same, and mind is responsible for the perception of time, and with time, the manifestation of aging, decline, and death, you'll be able to discern when you're allowing the mind to run and therefore drain you, rob you of peace, fulfillment, and joy in the moment, or when you're keeping that contact with the presence going. You will be able to tell. And then, you know, monitoring that becomes rather simple. Like driving a car, pretty soon you don't even have to think about it. It's automatic. And that's certainly worth the effort that you would put into stopping in mid-frantic, manic moment and observing the presence, ever-present. So we take a deep breath and we offer all that has been released into the love that's ever present of the beloved, seeing any dark clouds dissolve and dissipate in the light of renewed enlightenment, renewed awareness that dawns in our minds and hearts like a beautiful radiant sun as the clouds have all been dispersed. And thank God that it is so, and thank you, for God dwells in you as you. Let's go out chanting. Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. Anai Hu. May all the beings in all the worlds have peace and happiness. Namaste.